You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For many of us, it just would not be a complete Michigan summer without visiting Saugatuck Douglas. The Southwest Michigan beach towns are inclusive and welcoming to all, and they've had a fascinating cultural evolution that dates back to the Cold War era. And that's the focus of an exhibit happening right now at Grand Valley State University. It's called Stories of Summer. Here with us now via Skype is Kimberly McKee, who directs the Cucci Office of Local History at GVSU. So, Kimberly, this exhibit Stories of Summer builds off an earlier exhibit that was curated by the Saugatuck Douglas History Center called Cold War Hot Town. What did that exhibit explore? What stories did it tell?
That exhibit was aimed to really highlight not only what fun activities were happening at the beach, so thinking about Oval Beach, which is sort of widely known in the area, as well as for those who summer in the region, but also to get people to consider what it meant to have the U.S. Air Force radar station on Mount Baldhead sort of looming over everybody over the beach.
And for people that have not been to Saugatuck Douglas, tell us about this Air Force Tower.
The Air Force Tower was designed to monitor approaching Russian bombers. And so thinking about during the 1950s to 1960s, when we're at the height of Cold War, that threat felt very real. There was this concern that you would have Soviet Union bombers, you know, flying over down the Michigan lakeshore towards cities like Chicago to potentially attack. And so really thinking about how that radar station really epitomized sort of this era, which was known for school duck and cover practices, air raid drills, thinking about fallout shelters. And at the same time you had that happening in the background, you have people who are coming to the beach and going to concerts, going to specifically jazz and rock music concerts, sort of that were known around the area, and just kind of living their daily lives.
That is something that, since I'm a card-carrying baby boomer, I can tell you I remember those drills, and I remember my mother putting jars of water in our basement, in our fruit cellar, and cans of food in case we had to go down and take shelter. That was a very palpable feeling in the 1950s and the early 1960s, and it is amazing to think of relaxing at the beach and having fun, and then looming over all of this is this tower looking for Soviet bomb planes. But you realize there was something missing in that exhibit. What was it?
The voices were missing. And so when I was talking to the now former director of the Saugatuck Douglas History Center, Nathan Niedering, about this, he was saying as the History Center staff was curating the exhibit, while they had all of these great objects, what they really lacked were those stories, were the voices from people coming to the area or living in the community from the mid-20th century. And so that got the two of us to start thinking about what became the project Stories of Summer.
All right, so how'd you go about collecting these oral histories?
We received a generous grant from the National Endowment for Humanities. It's a Common Heritage grant, and so that grant allowed us to have history harvests during the summer of 2018. And so folks might be wondering what a history harvest is. And it was these were 2-day-long events where we had scheduled individuals to come in to share their oral histories, to share their stories about summering in Saugatuck in the mid-20th century. But we also invited people to bring in their objects of ephemera. So I'm thinking about postcards, photographs, journals, newspaper clippings, and we digitize them. And so both the digitized ephemera as well as the oral histories will eventually be available online through the Grand Valley State University's Special Collections and Archives website. And we're really excited about that.
All right. So let's get a sampling of some of the oral history. This is a clip from someone who participated in the oral history process, a gentleman named Ray Foster.
I do remember probably the late 50s, when they had a jazz festival, a Saugatuck Jazz Festival, at the racetrack there. And Duke Ellington and a few other celebrities were there. And my grandparents' farm was kind of like a mile south of there. And with the windows open at night, I remember him introducing Duke Ellington and Ben mentioning his name. That always stuck in my stuck yeah. with me forever after that. I thought, wow, what would have been so great to be there.
So Ray's perspective clearly is from that farmland around Saugatuck and Douglas. Tell us how this land developed during the 50s and 60s and how these changes were greeted by both older and younger folks in the area.
So one of the things that came out from these oral histories was really discovering how the communities changed as you saw different populations coming in and out of the city. And so not only did you have young people coming in, and so in the exhibit, we have a board that specifically is titled Youth Invasion, with invasion in quotes, to really think about and consider how young people were reshaping the area in terms of coming in to go to concerts, to enjoy the beach. At the same time, you're seeing these jazz festivals, which were also transforming the landscape in the fact that they were bringing in new people to the community, folks who may not have been necessarily venturing to these Twin Lakeshore communities if it wasn't for these kinds of concerts and these types of events. At the same time, the Oxbow Summer School of Painting, which is sometimes also called the Art Colony at Oxbow, had been around since 1910, but you're also seeing how the artists were also reshaping the landscape by the mid-20th century.
And how did that evolve to turn Saugatuck Douglas into, I mean, the incredibly accepting place it is? We know it is certainly a popular destination for the LGBT community. How did that all evolve from that?
I think what it's really important to understand about both Saugatuck and Douglas is the fact that they were very intentional in creating a welcoming community for all. And so thinking about the ways in which people, you know, who might normally have been marginalized and excluded based on sexual identity in the past, really were able to find a place to live. And this isn't to say everything was easy at the time, right, or that they didn't encounter any discrimination, but rather they were able to find a place that they could call home and demonstrate how integral their businesses were to the community.
What do you hope people get from seeing stories of summer? What do you think we can learn from how these twin towns adapted to changing and uncertain times?
For me, when I consider sort of what I want people to take away from this exhibit, is to really think about how these two twin towns contributed to sort of this dynamic, changing 20th century. So thinking about this move towards inclusivity at a time when a lot of places weren't. And so thinking about how Saugatuck Douglas was actually moving ahead of a lot of these other communities that we know about. But I'll also really think about the value of capturing everyday stories and really recognizing that these everyday stories from the people who were participated in this project really represent the voices of me, you, and your listeners.
And where can people see Stories of Summer?
The exhibit runs through March at the Mary Idemma Pugh Library at GVSU's Allendale campus. It's downstairs in their exhibit space.
Kimberly McKee, who directs the Coochie Office of Local History at GVSU, thank you so much for sharing this Stories of Summer exhibit and getting everybody in the mood for summer at Saugatuck Douglas.
Thank you.